And if social media is going to have the impact that it is having on our youth, schools, in my opinion, as a center of community, are a place where these conversations not only can, but should be happening. And so it all starts with education. You know, we believe in our system of providing opportunities for students to understand how social media works, what to be aware of, what to be fearful of, to make sure that the information that they're engaging in is safe, that it's accurate, and that it's kind.
You're listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This is our District Talk segment, where we interview district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday shine online. Now, let's get back to the interview.
Hello, my name is Laura Carrasco, and I have the privilege of serving International Leadership of Texas as Deputy Superintendent of Academics and Student Services. We serve 22,500 students in Texas, primarily in the Dallas-Fort Worth and Houston areas, but we also serve students in College Station and Cleveland, Texas.
Hi there. My name is Eric Burmeister. I'm the recently retired superintendent at Menlo Park City School District in the heart of Silicon Valley. We are a preschool through eighth grade school district with about 3,000 students. I'm known for our innovation and our use of technology in the classroom.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Thorns. I'm superintendent of Chicago Ridge School District 127 and a half. We are in the southwest suburbs of Chicago. We have about 1,500 students, and we have three schools that they attend.
How has the prevalence of technology in the classroom, and that could include social media, impacted student learning and student engagement?
First of all, we know technology has to be a conduit for learning. We can't replace good teachers, but we can give them technology to then be able to leverage on the technology as a conduit for learning. And, you know, we're grateful that we have seen an influx and an increase in technological advances that have positively impacted education and have helped the teacher with tools that will help them with whether it's differentiation or the monitoring of learning, and then certainly the presentation of the learning as well.
Well, from my own perspective, you know, the school district that I led was a leader in this work. We were the very first school district in the Silicon and all of Silicon Valley to have a one-to-one iPad program. And so what I am noticing now as I work with other school districts in the consulting work that I do right now is there are some districts that are extremely well prepared and their students are flourishing with technology. Their teachers feel, you know, well prepared and are knowledgeable about how to integrate technology into the teaching and learning. We know this because we've had the time to kind of go through the fits and starts. Now, some of the other districts that really sort of came to this integration process during the pandemic are quickly gearing up and getting an understanding, but it was probably a heavier lift for them during the pandemic. And what I can say, if used well as a tool and not a distraction to learning, technology provides great efficiency for teachers, amazing engagement opportunities for students, and really can create new ways of learning and engaging in content that simply isn't possible in a static environment that doesn't have access to technology and the World Wide Web.
Yeah, we've seen a huge increase in technology in the classroom over the years. And I think we really try to look at it from a positive standpoint. We could easily clamp down on students having technology, but we have seen that it's really been beneficial when we add to the lesson that they're doing. So instead of just having them turn to the book, being able to explore and research on their own, and then to put together something, when we were younger, we would put together like a PowerPoint. Well, now you can kind of put together videos that they feel a lot better about sharing with their classmates than just something boring like a PowerPoint.
How can school districts deal with social media issues that may originate on social media apps, but then could create a problem for the school or the district on campus either the next morning or Monday morning after the weekend has happened?
Unfortunately, you know, glows and groans to technology in schools, and a definite drawback has been the influence of the negative influence, because there's been some positive influences of social media as well. We are seeing it predominantly in the social emotional well-being of our kiddos, our girls predominantly, who seem to be under a lot more pressure to meet some of these norms that have been elevated through social media. But we're dealing with these challenges head on. We have an incredible team of counselors and school administrators who are helping us address the issue, helping our students talk through the realities, the pros and cons of having these incredible platforms, and then just teaching them skills to be able to advocate for themselves, to be able to differentiate between the positive influences as well as those they need to watch out for, especially those that can negatively impact their schooling and their social emotional well-being.
So I think the first response I would have is we can't do it alone. And what that means is that not only do we have to invite and encourage and welcome parent and community partners, but we also have to work directly with our students. I'm of the belief that there really is no way that we are going to, you know, shield our children from the impacts of social media, even if individual children don't have access because their parents don't allow it. Social media is, for better or for worse, a real and lasting reality of our kids' lives. And so we have to address it head on, and we have to address it in community with one another, with honesty, with transparency, and with as much sort of shared knowledge as possible, without feeling like we as individuals have to be technology experts and technology investigators. And that's a hard balance to strike. And I think where people who maybe don't feel as comfortable with technology as our children do, they sort of throw up their arms and respond with emotion and fear. And often that emotion is fear, and totally understandable, but also not going to help us get to the places that we need to be.
Yeah, very often social media, things that happen outside of the school walls come into the school. And I think the best thing we can do is to be proactive with that and to have discussions with our students even before that occurs, along with our families, and really having them understand that although it's not happening in school, it really does have an impact on the kids. And we want them here being able to focus for the time that they're within our care. And so we really try to work with the families, and instead of just making it about punishment, really trying to teach our kids how to learn from those things that are happening on social media.
I like that. It's not about punishment. It's about learning. Can you provide some examples of how your students have used their social media in a positive or productive way that may have benefited themselves, their community, or something that maybe helps them launch into their future?
Depending on the campus, but we do have a couple of pilots that we're working with. I will say just charter-wide, where we're leveraging on social media is on shining a very positive spotlight on the amazing things that our kiddos are doing and our teachers and our campuses are accomplishing. For example, at IL Texas, our students take on an Others Before Self project, their service learning projects. For every year that they're enrolled at IL Texas, they participate in at least one service learning project. And so we've been able to leverage on social media to get the word out on what the kids are accomplishing, what their projects are, and how they're trying to change the world. And they truly are changing the world. And then us, we're able to better communicate that change through social media by getting the word out much more quickly worldwide.
In our school district, we have a real ethic of community support and community service. And a lot of the ways that our students get information is through social media and through sharing, through using social media. Our students have raised, a ton of money for the American Cancer Society as an example. We see a lot of our students standing up and instead of being bystanders, being upstanders on social media, not even necessarily in responding to situations that are occurring on our school campus or among students within our schools, But just sort of, you know, editorializing on the state of the world and saying, you know, what they believe and what they stand for as an anecdote to some of the negativity that is out there. We do use social media at the, particularly at the middle school level with our student leadership programs. Because we're a K-8 district, we don't have high schools in our district, but we do have opportunities for our students to safely engage in information sharing and memory sharing through social media that is supported by staff. And, you know, we feel really good about that. But by and large, the social media lives of our children happen outside of school. That's not to say that impacts don't happen, that there aren't impacts at school based on social media use. But I would say we find way more examples of our students being upstanders and using social media for good rather than being bystanders or simply, you know, putting out hate or negativity or inappropriate messages. And so I think if you look at the whole of the kinds of conversations that are happening on social media among kids, it's much more positive than it is negative. I think oftentimes it's the negative stuff that gets the bulk of the attention, and understandably so.
One of the things that I was really excited about that we have been able to utilize social media with for our students is creating a TikTok after school club. We had it at the junior high this year, and what we saw was a lot of students who may not have always had positive ideas about themselves or really wanted to put themselves out there in front of their classmates, because they were able to take the video and kind of edit it and get it to where they wanted. They built up a lot of confidence during that time. And that was really fun to see, just because they were kids who didn't always have that confidence behind them.
That's awesome. Great answer. Superintendent, in the age of one-to-one, how are you preparing students for positive technology use in the classroom?
Top three. One is security. Security, security, security. And that means we do have to be strict with our filters and what we're allowing into our devices. Especially when our students have visibility to. Second is leveraging on some of our instructional tech tools so that the tools themselves become a conduit for learning and a tool through which kids can demonstrate a mastery of learning as well as receive just the teaching in a new way. And lastly is the communication. And by that, I'm including the education of kids on the appropriate use of technology, the best ways to leverage on technology and our different apps for betterment of their education, and including the communication to our parents and our different stakeholders of the intent and purpose of our technology and our different apps.
So education, education, education. And it somebody could reasonably state and believe that it isn't the school's responsibility to teach kids about social media use. And while I think that is a reasonable response, I think it is unnecessarily blind and deaf to the realities that our students face on a daily basis. And if social media is going to have the impact that it is having on our youth, schools, in my opinion, as a center of community, are a place where these conversations not only can, but should be happening. And so it all starts with education. You know, we believe in our system of providing opportunities for students to understand how social media works, what to be aware of, what to be fearful of, to make sure that the information that they're engaging in is safe, that it's accurate, and that it's kind. And so in order to do that in the beginning, you know, we started out really early on before many, many schools had the capacity or even considering doing one-to-one. And we, unlike a lot of districts, did not use a bring your own device program. We had managed devices from the school district. And I think that that's one step that districts can take that, that is super helpful. And today we have, far greater numbers and higher quality of technology programs that allow districts to manage it well at a relatively low cost and partner with technology solutions that help us do that. But in the beginning, what we did is we created our own digital citizenship curriculum, and we required all of our sixth graders as they came into middle school to fulfill that content and curriculum. But we found that as quickly as technology was changing, we didn't have the ability to keep up. And so fortunately, Common Sense Media came up with lots of great resources, as did other companies and technology solutions. We happen to use Nearpod's partnership with Common Sense Media in our district, but there are others out there. And then we did a lot of parent education. And so we've partnered with a lot of organizations like yours and other local entities like Digital Tattoo and some others to make sure that every year we were providing content, resources, and up-to-date information to parents. And engaging with them in that process.
During the pandemic, we were able to go one-to-one from kindergarten all the way up through eighth grade. Out of necessity, we already had the equipment and the tools to do that, but we really wanted to make sure we launched it in the right way. And so we talked to the students that it's going to be really exciting having these devices, and you're going to probably want to be on them all the time, as my own children at home are. But we really talked to them about having barriers to understand the amount of time they're spending on them, and just knowing kind of what they should be using them for, and maybe some things that they either should talk to the school or to their parents about, if it's okay if they use them in those ways. And one of the things we talked about the teachers with, that even though we have all of this technology, we still don't want to see the students sitting in front of them all the time. We want them to be able to use it to reinforce what they're doing and to bring that lesson along further. But there still needs to be that give and take and that interaction with the students in person.
Thanks for listening to our SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This was our District Talk segment, where we interview school district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday launch into their future by shining online. This episode was brought to you by our SmartSocial.com VIP program. It's called the Very Informed Parent Program, which helps you engage your students with teen-led video lessons. Stay one step ahead with our premium parent newsletter and discover hidden features on trending apps on teens' phones and our 54-plus live parent and student-friendly events every single year. You can click on the link below to chat with one of our team members if you want a free pass to our VIP program to support your community with our SmartSocial.com resources. And if you're a district leader who has a success story, we would love to feature you on a future episode. You can click the links below to reach out. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Have a great day.